You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning. It is Friday, April 2nd. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. In just one moment, we will be joined by Anna Hickey, lead Clemson writer over at Clemson 24/7. She does a great job covering the Tigers. I've had her on several times, and with their spring game on tap on Saturday, we thought it was absolutely the perfect time to check in on the six-time defending ACC champs and a Clemson team that's not at a crossroads, but a lot of new faces, new players who are going to have to step up and keep the standard as high as it usually is for them to make it back to the playoff and then win their first playoff game since the 2018 season. And as you all know, we are attempting to hit every Power 5 school and a few Group of 5 schools this offseason. I can't believe this, but we're almost halfway there. And so in case you missed your favorite team, don't worry. We have them all on Spotify for you. Just go to Spotify, search for the playlist called Across the Country with the College Football Daily, unquote, and find every single team preview episode we've done so far. Texas, LSU, Arizona State, Rutgers, Nebraska from this week, Auburn, Tennessee. We've done many more than that, and they're all there for you to listen. In my opinion, it is the perfect 15 to 20 minute capsule for you to check out, to listen to, and to be a more educated fan as the offseason wears on and as we start to build sooner rather than later toward the start of the 2021 football season. In August, it's like your virtual college football magazine, your audio college football magazine, if you will. So check it out. And speaking of checking things out, the Final Four is on Saturday. You probably want to watch the games, but what if it's nice and you have your vaccine and you are out and about at a brewery and they don't have the game on, or you're at a dinner night, date night, or you're doing something and you want to watch the games? How do you do that? Go to the CBS Sports app on your connected TV or phone, and from there you will see the Final Four games available to watch. You can also do this on the March Madness Live app, which I adore. And you think of this as your gateway to all the action. So just make sure you're downloading the CBS Sports app so that you never miss a minute of the NCAA tournament, which, hard to believe, almost over. Three more games total. So and then it'll be college football season. And for most Clemson fans on Saturday, it's already college football season because it's a spring game and a chance to watch DJ Uiagalelei. So without further ado, we're going to take a break and then talk to Anna Hickey. We're going to see how the 10-2 Clemson Tigers are going to make sure they don't have two losses in 2021. The College Football Daily will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Anna Hickey, as promised, joins us right now. Anna, we spoke, I guess, a few months ago at this point, wrapping up the Clemson regular season and, you know, up and down. And you listed some points of concern that you're watching for in the spring. I know it's hard to learn too much from spring football, but do you think Clemson got better in the last few weeks?
I think they got better. I think they definitely got more physical. It sounds like a cliche word, but I can't tell you how many times we heard that from the players, from Dabo, from the coordinators, especially on the defensive side of the ball. It's a huge emphasis, just getting stronger, more physical at all three levels, but especially, I would say, corner, safety, and then along the defensive line. We talk to any of the defenders and they'll just acknowledge that they totally got out physicaled, humbled, knocked off the ball, however you want to word it, against Ohio State. Same thing on the offensive side of the ball too. Tight end Davis Allen was pretty candid about that, getting off blocks at his position, same with the wide receivers. So certainly would say that they're using that blowout, that embarrassing performance, if you will, against Ohio State to fuel them this spring.
Does that follow the normal script from the Dabo Swinney playbook? When you say they're using the motivation, the blowout to fuel them, I think of like Nick Saban. Is that something that Dabo's done before? Please tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like maybe in the past he'd be like, you know, no, we'll motivate ourselves, or, you know, we are who we are. Like, it is interesting to hear them speak so candidly about how they failed against the Buckeyes.
No, I agree with that. And part of that is just like in recent years, I mean, 2 years, they've won it all. So you can't say that you can use last year's motivation. And even in when they lost to Alabama, I think it was just acknowledging that they got beat by a more talented team, better skill players, better line play across the board. And even LSU, I think that was part of it too. But Ohio State, what they're kind of digging into is not that their players are necessarily faster than ours, but they just, A, wanted it more, and B, they were just more physical than us. And to quote Jamie Skalski at the beginning of spring, he was like, that's the rule number one of football. You can't be out physical. So it's more of like an attitude adjustment, I think, more so than anything. But yeah, I agree with you in the sense that Dabo Swinney normally likes to turn the page on spring and say, you know, that was last year's team, better for worse. And this is a whole new team. And this year, I mean, a little bit of that, but certainly a lot of Ohio State talk, and Swinney hasn't really shut that down at all. I mean, if anything, he's kind of embraced it.
You were telling me before we hit record that y'all talked to Brent Venables on Wednesday for the first time since before the Sugar Bowl, which Clemson lost 49-28 and could not do much against Ohio State. Justin Fields threw for what he wanted, and Trey Sermon rushed for what he wanted. First of all, were you surprised that it took so long for Venables to come out and face the music? And then, you know, what was his tone as far, I mean, I saw your tweet about, you know, he said something funny about like getting lined up or stopping the run.
Well, so they didn't have a Zoom room for coordinators after the game, so we couldn't talk then. And then the way Clemson sets up their spring ball availability for the coordinators, one will do it at the beginning of spring. So we talked to Tony Elliott the first week of spring ball, and then the other one will do it at the end. So Venables kind of joked last night. He was like, no conspiracy theories out there. Like, I'm a man that'll stay in front, take it in the gap. Like, you know, like, ask me what you want about the Ohio State game. Let's just address it. So he went into plenty of detail about that last night. And yeah, I can read a little bit for you. I think it's a little interesting just to kind of quote him, because he says it better than how I could summarize it. He says, wasn't anything worth a flip from that game? The preparation, the game plan, you just burn it all. We got physically worked on the line of scrimmage. They got after us in all three levels. We were out physicaled. They established the run and set up play action. We let guys run by us. We let guys run through us. We didn't set the edge all day. We got knocked off the ball. It was a humbling experience, a lot of self-evaluation. I think the most important thing we do in the out of season, and what we've tried to emphasize in spring ball, is improving our physicality at all three levels. And then he goes on to say, we have to improve our ability to stop the run. I think that's where it all starts. We're going to be stronger up the middle of our defense this year. I've seen that improvement. Probably the most improvement I've seen from any two guys on our defense this spring is Tyler Davis and Brian Brise. They've had terrific springs. And if we're going to be what we all hope we can be next year, man, it starts with those guys. So I didn't think that puts it into perspective. Starts up front. And when you have two of your most talented players and you say they're the ones that are the most improved, I mean, they're just kind of setting the bar where everyone else needs to get to.
Those are the two guys. Do you expect like the young, the freshman defensive lineman, and we'll jump to the offense here in a second. I got to say though, like, I do enjoy talking defense on spring, because like sometimes I just get kind of like trapped into like talking QBs and running backs. It's nice to have like in-depth discussion about the whole complexion of the team, but I would have always been saying Brian Brise. So I'll work on that too, but Brise and Miles Murphy and that vaunted 2020 defensive line haul, you would imagine that getting more physical, you throw in Tyler Davis, who will be a stud as a junior. Like it starts with them, right, Anna? Like it's like those guys have to go from what would like Brent Venables call them, like pups or whatever, to right. Forces.
Totally. And Brent said that last night. You know, you saw flashes of Brian, you saw flashes of Miles, what they're capable of last year, but they're still true freshmen. And I think just the improvement that they've made, and Dabo kind of alluded to this earlier in the spring, is just night and day, knowing what to do. And then also just playing faster because they know what to do. And that's led to an increased pass rush, which I think, in addition to stopping the run, they've emphasized winning one-on-ones either interior or at end in spring so much. And I think that's where they think it starts, because last year, you know, they saw that when they didn't get enough pressure, it really put a lot of pressure on a young and semi-talented secondary. So that's just been the huge emphasis. And yeah, I think, you know, you not just look at the younger guys, but Tyler Davis, I mean, he was only a sophomore last year and he got hurt early in the season, came back, got hurt again, and wasn't the same player since. So now that he's fully healthy, he's really able to dig in and have a good spring, a good summer. And then Justin Maskell was a backup last year, but he's taking first team reps this spring with KJ Henry sidelined. Xavier Thomas has kind of put COVID and, you know, the aftermath of that in the background, and they're hoping he can have a productive, consistent spring. So yeah, I don't think they're going to have a lot of depth at end, especially with Justin Foster walking away. They brought a linebacker over and Kevin Swint. So, you know, as long as those ends can stay healthy and they have a good summer, getting stronger, faster, more physical, I think Clemson will be a lot better up front.
So offensively, there are storylines at every single position. We don't have time to do that. So I'm going to do like a quick status report for you, and we can kind of choose the ones we want to dig in on and the ones we just want to gloss over. At quarterback, is there anything surprising or new to report on DJ Uiagalelei? Anna, is it same old, same old? Will he probably be the guy we expect him to be this fall?
Yeah, I would say so. I really haven't written much about DJ. I think one of the biggest takeaways was the first day we talked to Dabo for like 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And I don't think one question was about DJ, and that's a first-year starter at quarterback. The media did not ask about him. Just, I mean, for better, for worse, maybe we took it for granted what we saw in that Notre Dame game, but because kind of Sweeney kind of came back last week after the scrimmage and said DJ had a couple of turnovers in the red zone that he just can't have, forcing things or making the wrong decisions in the RPO run game. So I think maybe that's just to kind of keep the pressure on DJ, like, hey, you haven't arrived yet. But, you know, overall, I expect to see.
He's going to be a star. It's been fun to watch. You know, I've so much NFL draft coverage in the news the last few weeks, and you got to think like in 2 years, these guys are going to be going crazy over DJ. All right. Running back, if you had to put money on it, who gets the first carry of the 2021 season replacing Travis Etienne?
I probably lean Lynn J. Dixon, the senior, but if you're going to say who's going to be the starter, if everyone's healthy at the end of the season, I'm going to say Kobe Pace. There's a ton of competition in that running back room right now. And then you have a first-year running back coach in CJ Spiller, and they're kind of all just starting from scratch. So you've got Kobe Pace, and you got Chesma Lucy, Mikey Dukes, Lynn J. Dixon, and then you throw a couple of true freshmen in there that have done some good things. So they're all getting reps right now. They're all getting a little bit of work with the first team. And I think that's what Clemson wants right now. You know, they want that competition to kind of fuel those guys elevating their game. But yeah, that's one of the storylines, I think, going into summer and fall, is if there is that one guy that truly does elevate himself above the pack. I think Kobe might be starting to do that. But, you know, I still think that Lynn J. Dixon, who's been hurt a little bit, you know, they're not going to just write him off yet. You know, he still is going to have a chance to kind of elevate his game too.
Does that kind of surprise you about Kobe Pace? I'm looking at him. He was in the class of 2020. Yeah. So it's not like he's like 20 years old, or, you know, he's been in the program for so long, but he was a 3-star. And I think, like, just kind of, you look at it nationally, it's like, okay, yeah, Lynn J, you know, who doesn't want to see what Will Shipley's got? But no, that's interesting that you went with Kobe Pace. And from reading your coverage this spring, it seems like they really like him. It's going to be.
Yeah. He's a big back. I like that a lot about him. I think he picks up things quickly, especially pass protection, which is always huge with Clemson. And he just kind of came from a system in high school where he was taught the position. And I think he's 5'25", 25. So, he's a big back.
Justin Ross, what are your expectations for him this year? I know you guys recently, I think, got to Zoom with him.
Yeah, we talked to him last night for the first time in over a year. I can't remember if we talked to him last spring before kind of the news came out that he would have surgery. And if we didn't, then it would have been 2019 since we last talked to him, which is kind of crazy. But he has a doctor's appointment in early June. And that is the final doctor's appointment, kind of the final finish line. And Pete, he'll go back up to Pittsburgh and meet with oncologists. And I think if they sign off there, then he'll be good to go for the fall. Right now he's doing everything, pads on, helmet on, but he's not doing contact. So like you won't see him in the spring game. But if the doctor clears him in June, he will be able to do contact. They've moved him to the slot.
I thought he was going to be T. Higgins. I thought he was going to be like the outside guy now.
Well, I think they like E.J. Williams at that position. And then you have Joseph Ngata there and you have Frank Ladson. You have a JoJo who's kind of coming on. And then at slot, you lost Amari Rodgers. You don't really have any like an obvious guy. I mean, you have Brandon Spector and then Will Sweeney. So I think the move to slot was more of just and then they're still going to move Justin around a lot, but his home's going to be the slot. And he was funny last night. He's pretty candid, not without meaning to. He was like, yeah, I think it's going to be an advantage for me at that position. And we were like, why? And you know, he just stated the obvious. He's like, I mean, I'm going to be going against slower competition. I'm going to be going against linebackers and safeties. Like I'm just going to have an edge on him. So, and it's not just the straight line speed. Dabo said earlier this spring, he's kind of Hunter Renfro-esque in his ability to cut on a dime. So he just fits the slot role. And I think that also bodes well for his NFL future, just showing that he can move around. He can be a mismatch problem wherever he is on the field. So I'm eager to see him in that slot position. And he did say last night that he plans on the doctor giving him the okay. Like, I don't think there's anything, you know, in terms of he's hit all the benchmarks so far. So I think you're just kind of holding your breath until you get that final word, of course. But, you know, it's not like anything grand has to happen between now and then in order for him to get cleared.
Will the offensive line be able to hold its own in week one against Georgia? Because this was a huge issue last fall.
Yeah. And, you know, week one is a little bit different than the playoff when they're just totally gassed, because Clemson had about six maybe that they really felt comfortable rolling out last year. And the whole emphasis this spring has been getting 10 or 11 so that they can rotate more. And I do think so. They really only lost Jackson Carmen, who steps in that role as Walker Parks. They actually might move Jordan McFadden to left and Walker might play right. But either way, you have two talented tackles. Your guards have been in the system for another year. You got a veteran at Matt Bockhorst, and then now a second year starter in Will Putnam. And then center, which was kind of the position that everyone talked about last year, just was not good. Even though you had a veteran in that role, they have a new kind of blank slate this year. And that was a question going into spring ball, who would emerge at that position. And it seems like it's been Hunter Rayburn, who's a younger player and haven't really heard much about, but it's just one of those things where they keep saying, yeah, the lights come on for him. He gets what he's supposed to do. He's playing faster. He's a lot more physical. He's about 320. So he's a big body in there. So, you know, and he can move. So if he just puts it all together, and it sounds like he has, and it sounds like Clemson really might have something at center, which is something to be excited about. And then a guy like Paul Teo, who was a freshman last year, he's coming on. Mason Trotter is a backup. And you have, you know, you just have some guys that I think that they're excited about that you can throw into the rotation and, you know, not totally hold your breath and be like, oh, please just don't get totally knocked off the ball. And that's still going to be the emphasis going into summer and fall.
Yeah. A lot of interesting storylines. And I've been doing this Power Five jump around during the offseason. It's like, you know, some teams, you know, you talk Nebraska, and it's like, you know, who knows the names of all the Nebraska players. But with programs like Clemson and the LSU one I did with Shea Dixon, and then eventually I get to Ohio State and Alabama, it's like all of these positions, all of these players are intriguing because these are the people that we're going to be talking about in November and in December and in the college football playoffs. So this was a great rundown by you. We really appreciate it. We'll look forward to watching the spring game tomorrow. It's hard to believe that we have college football spring games upon us, but we're there. So yeah. Anna, we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Trey.
All right. We appreciate Anna joining us. She does such a great job over at Clemson 24/7. Make sure you are following her. If you are a Clemson fan and you found us that way, subscribe to 24/7 Sports and Clemson 24/7. You also get a free subscription to Paramount Plus if you do that. My name is Trey Scott. Our producer is Lance Glenn. We will talk to you on Monday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
May 23rd.
I want to go back.
to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.